sing that song you like, the one about the sugar cane.
Okay.
C and H, C and H, everyone sing about C and H. It's the only pure cane sugar from Hawaii.
That's our sugar.
Ah, yes, the yearning for sugar, despite questions about sweets and dental health, was what ads like these played up back in the 1950s, long before Maroon 5 made the charts. It was a time when the sugar lobby in Washington, D.C. had as much influence over scientific research as the NRA seems to have today over gun ownership. A Washington Post investigation shows that the U.S. sugar industry significantly influenced the government's medical research on dental care, a legacy still with us today. Roberto A. Ferdman is a reporter for the Washington Post, author of a new piece in the paper's Wonk blog called The Untold Story of How the Sugar Industry Shaped Key Government Research About Your Teeth. Welcome, Robert.
Hi there.
So what
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. What happened back in the 50s?
Well, what appears to have happened is that in the late 60s and early 70s, which are seen as a key time for dental research because we knew that tooth decay or cavity formation was a huge problem amongst youth in the country, and we were determined to fix this problem. In fact, the goal was to eradicate it within a decade. The sugar industry played an enormous role in the type of research that was conducted. In fact, what they did is they made sure that none of the research studied the effects of lowering sugar intake.
And the sugar lobby and sugar politics certainly heavily influenced U.S. policy in Latin America vis-a-vis Cuba and what was going on in Central America at the time. And so it would make sense that the sugar lobby would try to influence scientific research. What its specific impact do you think that had at the end of the 60s and 70s?
Well, in order to understand the impact, I think that you first need to understand what exactly they did. From a business perspective, they're just looking out for their own bottom line. But nationally, it's problematic because tooth decay is something that we still see today. So the effects have lasted decades. What they did is they set up a separate research group that looked almost exactly like the research group that was advising the government. So basically the same scientists and nutritionists who were figuring out what research on dental care would not affect the sale of sugar or consumption of sugar were then going and advising the government. And the proposals and research that came out of this look exactly like, I mean, the almost 80% of the research was taken directly from the sugar industry's report.
What regulations do you think would have been in place if the research had been more independent? Is there any way to tell that?
There would have been a more honest and national recognition at the time. Now we know that sugar, sucrose, plays a key role in the decay of our teeth and the formation of cavities, but then it wasn't so clear, not nationally. This is something that scientists and dentists and people who were studying, you know, the decay of teeth knew, but it wasn't acknowledged on a national level. At the time, they were proposing, basically, they were assuming that people were going to eat sugar and that people weren't going to eat less sugar, which, you know, I think we can agree is a mistaken assumption. You can advise people to eat less sugar if it's better for their health, the health of their teeth. Instead, they researched ways to fix dental decay or tooth decay by, say, using vaccines, which is something that sounds ludicrous now but was considered then, or by finding different ways to reduce plaque in teeth. So they're basically long cuts when there was a clear shortcut we should be exploring.
So, Roberto, is it possible to say that the sugar industry actually endorsed products like toothpaste that had fluoride in it and all of these remediation measures which would allow you to eat as much sugar as you wanted as long as you use these dental hygiene products like toothpaste, and the sugar industry had a hand in all that?
They were definitely cheerleading that sort of research because if people in America were told that they can eat all the sugar that they want as long as they used a toothpaste that has fluoride in it, that fluoride was a cover-up for their diet, for their sugar-heavy diet, that benefited the industry a lot. The alternative was to tell people to eat less sugar, which would have affected any food company that was part of the Greater Sugar Association that sold a product with a lot of sugar in it.
And so, is it scientifically invalid to say that you can eat as much sugar as you want as long as you use an aggressive toothpaste?
I think that it's widely understood at this point that you can't eat as much sugar as you want without adverse consequences, without it affecting your teeth. That's widely acknowledged by everyone, not just scientists. I think that the average person understands that today. In the 70s, however, that wasn't the case. And needless to say, we did not eradicate tooth decay in the decade that we aim to.
Roberto A. Ferdman is a reporter for The Washington Post's Wonk Blog, author of a new piece called The Untold Story of How the Sugar Industry Shaped Key Government Research About Your Teeth. And take care of your teeth, Roberto, okay?
I'll try.
Well, the devil, she made sweet candy, took 6 days and nights to dream. On the seventh day she rested, woke up early and made ice cream.
Sugar may be bad for our teeth and our health, but it just tastes so good. We want to hear from you. Are you addicted? Is sugar your kryptonite? From Boston, Mass., chocolate is my kryptonite. I cannot exist without it. I have a great body, but the chocolate ensures I have curves.
Lori from Salt Lake, and I would say sugar is both evil and something I can't live without. I'm such a sugar junkie, full well knowing it is horrible for me. Wedding cake was my absolute downfall as an event coordinator. And anything chocolate is simply too much temptation to resist, especially brownies and chocolate chip cookies.
Hi, this is Allison from Orlando, Florida, and I just vowed yesterday to cut down my sugar because I am a complete sugar addict. Everything sugar I love. So today was the first day, and I got to tell you, drinking black coffee is pretty rough.
This is Lynn from the San Francisco Bay Area. My sugar crack is my grandmother's family recipe for chocolate spice cake with strawberry jam, frosted with real brown sugar caramel icing. Oh, boy, is that good.
A lot of passion here. Crack, kryptonite, you folks. Man, what is your favorite sugary indulgence? Tell us the story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway.
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.